One of the biggest Christian denominations in the United States and in the world is on the brink of historic change. The United Methodist Church, which has more than 12.5 million members worldwide, is likely to formally split later this year over questions of LGBTQ acceptance and marriage equality. In May, the church will be voting at their general conference on whether to split off the, quote, traditionalist wing of the church, which has pushed for Methodists not to recognize marriage equality or allow LGBTQ people to be ordained. Debate over these issues goes back decades, and for the past year, discord within the church has grown. Here's a clip from an emergency general conference that was held in February of 2019.
There are thousands of us in your local churches fiercely committed to a traditional definition of marriage, one man and one woman. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to vote no.
If we can be a church which brings Jesus to people who are told can't be loved, that's what I want our church to be, and that's the Methodist Church that I love.
And while the official split is still at least months away, we wanted to check in on how Methodists, both in the U.S. and abroad, are understanding this fracture within their church. I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. Joining me now is Reverend Tom Berlin, lead pastor of the Florist United Methodist Church in Virginia. Reverend Berlin is involved in the negotiations for the potential split. Reverend, welcome to The Takeaway.
Well, thank you for having me.
So how far back does this debate go about the question of LGBTQ inclusivity in the Methodist Church?
United Methodists have been debating this since the 1970s, when in the 1974 the language was first added that excluded LGBTQ persons from marriage and then from ordination to ministry, even if they were qualified. And so every 4 years, we have this general conference, which is our global gathering of the church. And this issue has been debated in every general conference since.
What happened in 2019? There was a shift in 2019's conference, right?
There was a shift. In 2019, we had a special call general conference, and the focus of that general conference was to simply focus on these issues, the presenting issues of whether we would be inclusive related to LGBTQ marriage and same-sex marriage, and whether we would be inclusive of people related to ordination. There was a special commission that had been created a few years earlier that was to come up with a plan. And that plan was focused on unity. How do we keep the church together in light of these important differences of biblical interpretation and desire for different practices? Now, remember, the United Methodist Church is a global church. So about half of us are here in the United States, but the other half are predominantly in Africa, but also in the Philippines and in Europe. So when we gather, there are a lot of views in front of the church related to these very important topics and these very important people. And so in 2019, when that happened, the tensions, after having debated this and discussed this for years and years, the tensions were very high. And in that conference, more traditional United Methodists in the United States persuaded and combined their votes with delegates from Africa, and they passed what was called the traditional plan. And it actually made it far more punitive for clergy to perform same-sex marriages. And that created a real shift in the United Methodist Church. Suddenly, people who were centrist said, you know what, this is a really important issue to us. And they became as energized as people that are progressive. And so together, that group met after the General Conference. And again, the 2019 General Conference was special session, but in 2020, we had a regular General Conference, so we were voting on delegates to go to the 2020 meeting in May of this year. When those delegates were elected in the United States, there was an increase in number of delegates who are centrist and progressives who believe that this is an important defining issue for the church and who would like to extend marriage rights to same-sex persons and same-sex couples, and they would like to allow for the ordination of qualified LGBTQ persons to ordain ministry in the church.
Some outlets are describing this as a divorce, a nasty divorce, if you will. But do you see this as a divorce, or do you see this as a natural evolution of the Methodist Church? And because we know that there are other religions, I've spoken to LGBTQ clergy who are rabbis, who are priests even, So is this a natural evolution given what was happening in the world today, or is this really a divorce within the church?
I think we were on our way to a nasty divorce. And the question is, what will happen in May? But the most recent development in this story is that a group of us came together, 16 leaders in the United Methodist Church. Bishop John Yambasu, who's a bishop in Sierra Leone, Africa, brought the group together. And he invited those of us who are centrist, progressives, and traditionalists to sit down. And rather than having a nasty divorce over this at the 2020 General Conference, the 16 of us entered into mediation. This group includes bishops in the United States and across the global connection. And in that mediation process, we've proposed a plan that is called our protocol. And the protocol is simply a document that allows us to agree on how a separation can take place in such a way that it's not a nasty divorce. We actually sat down and figured out, you know, what does everybody need to make this happen? And that process completely changed the conversation, and it changed the relationships. And so those of us who are in that feel that we're doing more the work of reconciliation now and less the work of divorce. Now, at the end of this, we're not all going to be in the same church. If the General Conference delegates vote on this legislation related to this protocol, people will be able to go their own separate ways, but they won't have to do so in hardship or in anger. They can do so in mutual respect and in the nature of reconciling love.
Reverend Tom Berlin is the lead pastor of the Floris United Methodist Church in Virginia. Reverend, thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
For more on the United Methodist split, I'm joined now by Julie Zosmer, religion reporter at The Washington Post. Julie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So we just heard about how LGBTQ issues are driving the split in this church. Are there other issues behind the scenes here?
Well, when you have a traditionalist denomination splitting away from a mainline Protestant church, yes, there are other issues that they feel differently on, but really LGBT issues have been the driving force here.
So what is the process if the church in and of itself decides to split? What's the process for individual churches to decide where they want to go? Is it sort of a almost like states' rights if we look at if we compare it to how the United States operates, or are there other decisions that will go into other reasons that might affect a church's decision to stay or go?
States' rights is not a bad comparison, because the way that the United Methodist Church works is that every church is part of a bigger body called an annual conference, which is basically just a regional body. I'm here in the Baltimore-Washington annual conference, which covers a lot of Maryland, for example. Every annual conference is going to have the opportunity to vote, if they so choose, to leave the United Methodist Church for the traditional denomination that's going to be formed. Here in the United States, most of the annual conferences quite likely will not have a vote like that. They will remain United Methodist. That means that if an individual church likes what their annual conference does, what their traditionalist in their annual conference decides to go that way, or they want to be part of the United Methodist Church and their annual conference is going to stay part of it, they're good. They never have to take a vote. And one of the goals of the group that came up with this plan was to avoid having votes at the local church level. They didn't want every church in the country to be voting whether to stay part of the church or not. That being said, some are going to say they don't like what their annual conference is doing, and they're going to vote on their own to break away.
What does this mean for parishioners who go to church regularly, who aren't involved in the bigger decision-making here?
I think everyone who has been a longtime active parishioner in a United Methodist Church has been aware of this coming split for quite a while. It's been discussed for years that the church just might not be able to stick together over this issue. And most have strong opinions. There are people across the country who have wanted their church to be performing gay marriage and welcoming gay clergy, who are eager to get this done with and to change the way things are done in the Methodist Church. There are others who have been increasingly uncomfortable being part of a church where more and more people don't share what they see as their biblical views of marriage. And they're eager for this path that lets them break away and lets them be part of a denomination that does not believe that homosexuality is acceptable.
We've also talked to Reverend Berlin in the earlier segment about the international influence here. Is it that he mentioned that there are some international sections of the church that are more conservative than here in the United States? Will the split become more complicated when it comes to what international branches decide they want to do?
I think what the United Methodist Church in Africa is going to do is one of the biggest questions about this split. Because, as you said, the African church leaders are far more conservative on this issue. By and large, they absolutely do not believe that the Bible condones homosexuality. That being said, you can't just assume, oh, they're all going to go with the traditional denomination in that case. They like being United Methodist. They like having Methodist hospitals. They like having Methodist charities. And there is a lot of sentiment in the U.S. United Methodist Church that says, we want to keep those African churches and we want to be as flexible as we can so that they can keep doing things their way as they believe fits their religious views and still be part of the United Methodist Church. So which way the African church goes is a huge open question here.
Julie, there's also more broadly across the United States, there's been a decline in those who identify as Christian in the United States. That number has fallen by 12% over the last decade. We also know that members of the LGBTQ community are also less likely to be involved in more traditional religions. Does that play a role in perhaps the church's decision here to split, to make sure that it is being more inclusive, just to increase the number of parishioners and the people who do identify as Christian?
Well, all Protestant churches, especially mainline Protestant churches, are certainly concerned about losing membership. And that is one item on the table here. But I believe that most of the reasoning here has to do with what church leaders think is right, not what they think is going to have the best marketing opportunities.
Julie Zosmer is religion reporter at The Washington Post. Julie, thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.